We're going to talk about tshuva. So Rav Pam is an amazing vart that I heard from a few different places. Rav Avram Pam was the Rosh Hashiva in Torah Vadas. Rav Pam was a big tzaddik. And Rav Pam says, what do you need Parshas Vayakol Pekudei for, honestly? 214 psukim. Been there, done that. Truma Tetzava, yeah, what do you have? Oh yeah? Psh, that's chashuv. Rav Pam was an unbelievable person. In addition to being a great Talmud Chacham. So Rav Pam says, what do you need Vayakol Pekudei for? You already have Truma Tetzava. Like you come to Shul, it's Pesach Shabbos, and you feel like, you know, been there, done that. We've seen these psukim before. Mamish, we've seen these exact psukim, basically, before. And now we're reviewing every single one of them. So Rav Pam is a beautiful var. Rav Pam says, if you look carefully, the main difference between Truma Tetzava and Vayakol Pekudei is that in Truma Tetzava, everything is V'asisa. You should make this, and you will make this, and you could make this, right? You should make the Mishkan like this, you should make the Kalim like this. There's a lot of potential of what we could make. What do you find in what we read yesterday? There's no V'asisa. It's not you could, or you should, or you will. It's what? It's Vayas. And Vayasu. They did make it. And they did create it. And Rav Pam says, Many people in life are Truma Tetzava types of Jews. You know, you have like big dreams of like what I could do for Hashem, what I should do for Hashem, maybe in the future what I will do for Hashem. But it's rare that you find people who turn their Vasisa into Vayas. It's not just that I should make it, and I could make it, and maybe I will make it, but to be able to what? To be able to say Vayas, Vayasu. Kasher tziva Hashem, exactly what Hashem wanted me to do, I was able to do. That's unbelievable. And that's I think, the vart, in an interesting kind of way. That's the kesher between reading Vayakol and Pekudei with Shabbos HaChodesh. It's like a stira minei ubei. No? Vayakol Pekudei is all chazara. HaChodesh is alechem. Parshas HaChodesh is all about what? Starting new. But the answer is like this. After I heard this vart from a palm, I thought of the following idea. When did Hashem create the world? The beginning. Excellent. What month did Hashem create the world? So it's a machlokas between who? Between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says that the world was created, this is in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yoshua says the world was created in Nisan. Who's right? The Svarim talk about, I saw in Rabbi Meir Shapiro's Haggadah, he says Rabbi Eliezer was from the school of Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua is from the school of Beis Hillel, which really explains the difference between the way that they think. What's the difference between Tishrei and Nisan? So if you look, there's a Tosfos, who's right, right? On the one hand, the Torah seems to tell us clearly, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadash, and that Nisan is the beginning of time. On the other hand, Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei, Hayom Haras Olam, today is the beginning of the world, so which is it? What do we paskin? How do we function as Jews? Is it Nisan? Is it Tishrei? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Listen to this. And Rabbeinu Tam, it should bother you. Rabbeinu Tam says, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both true. They're both true. Yes, they're both true. Rosh Hashanah, that we call Rosh Hashanah Tishrei, is what? Is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the idea of creating the world. Nisan is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually created the world. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Good point. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, that b'machshava HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated the idea of the world, whatever that means, outside of time, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, b'poel, created the world in Nisan. So I was thinking, that's so amazing. I fit so beautiful with this yisod from Rav Pam. Because what happens in Tishrei? Tishrei, everyone's got a lot of ideas, right? This year is going to be the best year ever, and I'm not going to do that ever again, and I'm going to do all sorts of tshuva. And like the Sama Rebbe famously said, the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid, right? Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Meireishis Hashana V'ad Achris Shana. You know the word? that at the beginning of the year it's Mereshis Hashana. At the beginning of the year you say, ah, this is going to be the year. This is finally going to be the year. Or I put that Yetzirah to rest. Or I finally do that mitzvah that I've been pushing off and I should really be doing and I haven't been doing. So you start the year, you say, Mereshis Hashana, this is going to be the year. What happens by the end? Says the Pasuk, Tamir Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereshis Hashana Ad Acheris Ve'ad Acheris Shana. At the beginning, it's what? It's Hashana. This is going to be the best year ever. By the end of the year, unfortunately, what happens? Shana. It's just Shana. It's just another year. Because we were dreaming so big on Tishrei that even if we made it to Cheshvan, even if we made it to Kislev, even if we made it a little bit into the year, but eventually, it wears off. So what's the avoda of Nisan? What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Nisan was when Hashem actually created the world. Which means Chodesh Nisan comes to give us a fresh start. That's what a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem is about. That's what this past week's parsha is about. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, as we're reading Vayakol Pekudei, is beautiful. Because Vayakol Pekudei is saying what? That all the dreams of Truma Tetzaveh could become reality. You don't have to be a theoretical Jew, a Vasisa Jew. You could be a Vayas Jew. You could actually make it happen. You could become it. That's what Nisan is. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And that's why in Nisan, what? Chayav Adam Liros Az Atzma. You have to live it. You come to the Seder, it's not just, oh, let's talk about what once was. Let's remember just with our minds. No, you have to go, Laharos Az Atzma. You have to live it. You have to act out the Seder. You have to experience it. You have to make that dream of Truma Tetzaveh into reality in Vayakol Pekudei. You have to take the dreams of Chodesh Tishrei, which is when Hashem created the world b'machshava, and you have to make it l'maisa. Now, what's hard about Nisan? What's hard about his chadshus? Taking yourself seriously and not laughing at yourself. Because what right do I have? I promised in Tishrei I was going to change X, Y, and Z. Maybe if I made it to Cheshvan, maybe if I made it to Kislev, but for sure, after a while, it wore off. So now Nisan, we say, oh, fresh start. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Let's start over. That's hard. Because you know you messed up last time. So I want to talk about tshuva. I want to talk about tshuva in the context of Nisan. I want to learn about tshuva as it applies to Chodesh Nisan and how it's different than tshuva that we do in Tishrei. But first, I want to read you an amazing thing that I saw in a essay from Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik Shlita. Listen to this. He's right next door. Okay, so maybe his ears will perk up when he hears us quoting. Yeah? There's a book. They put out a book. The Strauss Center put out a book called Torah and Western Thought, I think is the name of the book. So he has an essay in there called The Founding Brothers about the Rav and his brother, his younger brother, Rav Aaron. Okay, listen to this. This is great. Several decades ago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik sat at his Shabbos table in his Chicago home, surrounded by family and students. In his hands, he held a copy of a letter that he had received many years before when he was a 10-year-old boy in Eastern Europe. Okay, this is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the Rav's younger brother. The letter had been written by his older brother, Yosef Dov, who was studying philosophy at the University of Berlin as a response to a Dvar Torah that young Aaron, or as he was lovingly known, Arela, had sent to his older sibling. Okay, so little Aaron Soloveitchik sent a letter to his older brother, Rav Yashaber, Yosef Dov, who was studying in University of Berlin studying philosophy. Okay. And now the Rav wrote back. And here we are, tens of years later, in Chicago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is sitting at his Shabbos table and he wants to read the letter to his family and his Talmidim that he got from the Rav when he was a boy. In the letter, Yosef Dov extols the brilliance that the little boy was already exhibiting. Rav Aaron, now grown to an elderly rabbi, read his brother's words aloud to those assembled in his home that Shabbos afternoon. Okay, this is a translation. We have this letter. It's in the Igros HaGrid. Yesterday evening, I received your enclosed letter. I simply could not believe my eyes. Little Arela had become an adult. Until now, you have only sent me questions. You've been the one asking the questions. But now, suddenly, you have transformed into someone who answers them. A lamdan who depends not on others. Who sits and writes Torah insights with comprehensive knowledge. It's a big cover for you. The Rav to say that about you. Just recently around Pesach time, You were still far from reaching this level. It never occurred to me that I would receive goodly and beautiful Chidushei Torah from you this very year, and that you would already be able to perambulate the orchard of Torah and Halacha, tread the Rambam's paths, and generate fresh and pleasant insights. I wholeheartedly pray that you will rise ever higher as a source of joy for us all. Beautiful letter, no? At this point, Rav Aaron looked up from the letter, surveyed those sitting around him, and said ruefully, he then proceeds to destroy my pshat. But afterwards, the Rav, after writing this lovely letter, he says, such beautiful chidushim, little Arela, you're doing so great. Chidushei Torah. He said, and then the Rav ripped my chiddush to pieces. So I think this is mamish. This story is mamish, the vart of Chodesh Nisan. Because Tishrei, we stood before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we put on a good show, and we ate Pas Yisrael, and we came to shul nice and early on Yom Kippur, went to the mikvah, and we dressed in white, and we negotiated, you know. We negotiated big deals with the Rabbanu Sholem, and then Cheshvan, and Kislev, and Teves, and it all fell apart. So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Nisan, Acholesh Zalachem. So on the one hand, the Jew has to believe in his ability, like Rabbi Nachman says, to start over as many times as he wants, even many times in one day. At the same time, there's a part of us that says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to rip me to shreds. My Chiddush is going to get destroyed. Even if Hashem says, oh, Chodesh is Alechem, start over. You know, I want you to have Ischachas in your life. You say, Hashem, the same thing's going to happen as last time. I'm going to make all these promises, and I'm just going to fall apart again. But Hashem says, even though I could rip you to pieces, even though the Rav went on to rip his younger brother's Torah to pieces, he destroyed his pshat, but first, he said, no, you're doing good. Keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. So that's what Chodesh Nisan is. I know it's a weird time of the year to talk about tshuva. It's not Elul. It's not Tishrei. But I want to have a Hischachus for tshuva shir right now. Okay, so let's start. Let's start with the newly published Shvilei Pinchas, for Pinchas Friedman, one of the greatest Bali Machshava in the world today. For Pinchas Friedman, they just put out the volume. He sends out a weekly Dvar Torah. So this is from Tavshin Ayin Vav. It just came out. Last year's Dvar Torah. Tavshin Ayin Vav, and it's from Parshas HaChodesh. Okay, it's on page Resh Ayin Ches. He quotes a beautiful, beautiful Vart from the Rebbe Rav Baruch of Mezhbush. Okay, let's see what Rav Baruch has to say. Rav Baruch says, Pesach Dvarenu Ya'ir Beperish Niskav Sha'amar Harav HaKadosh Rav Baruch Mezhbush. Zuchusi Yogen Aleinu. On the Pasuk about the Karban Pesach, Va'avadata es ha'avoda hazos b'chodesh hazeh. Such a sweet word. Ready for this? Look inside. It says by Karban Pesach, Va'avadata es ha'avoda hazos b'chodesh hazeh. What does that mean? U'perish b'divrei kodesho, ki ha'avoda shel chodesh tishrei nikres zos. The avoda of Tishrei is called zos. Where is Tishrei called zos? How do we know that the avoda of Tishrei is called Zos? He says the highlight of Tishrei, of course, is Yom Kippur. And the height of Yom Kippur is what? Is that the Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh HaKadashim. And what does it say when the Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh HaKadashim? Bizos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. With Zos, Aaron enters the Kodesh HaKadashim, which of course the actual Zos is a reference to the Karbanos that he brings. But we're also trying to achieve Zos. What do we say? What's going to be the big win for the Jewish people? Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nesra gzera. What does it say on top of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah in your machzer? Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. What does it say? Tzom, kol, and mamon. Right? Which the Sfarim explained, tzom is 136, kol is 136, mamon is 136. 3 times 136 is Zos. Zos, Yavo Aaron. Nah, come on, this is famous stuff. That's not a Kiddush. Zos, Yavo Aaron. Right? Tzom, fasting, kol, tefillah, mamon, tzedakah. With tshuva, with tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nesra gezerah. So that's our Zos, Yavo Aaron, el Kodesh. Right? We don't have an Aaron, we don't have a Kodesh Kadashim. Not at least a physical one in this world. We have our Neshamas, which is Kodesh Kadashim. Yeah, so Zos is the code word for the heights, for the pinnacle, so to speak, of Tishrei. What's the avoda of Nisan? What word is the word for Nisan? Zeh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Rosh Chodashim. So, Chavar, so now look what Rav Baruch Hu does for us. It says, Rabbi Rav Baruch Hu Meshbush. What does it say? What are we achieving with the Karban Pesach? V'avadata es ha'avoda ha'zos v'chodesh ha'zeh. You hear? You don't hear because you're not smiling. V'avadata es ha'avoda ha'zos, where it's underlined. Ha'avoda sha'ata oved b'chodesh tishrei ha'nikra zos ta'avod b'chodesh ha'zeh b'chodesh nixan sh'nikra zeh. You hear? There you go. See, he's smiling. That's a sign he got. Vavata es ha'avoda ha'zos b'chodesh ha'zeh. Try to bring the world of Tishrei into Zeh, into Nisan. Which means that just like Tishrei is a time we're thinking about being really close to Hashem, we're thinking about how I can do tshuva, guess what? The same kittel you're wearing on Yom Kippur, you're wearing at the Seder, it's also a zman of tshuva. Pesach is an unbelievable zman of tshuva. It's a time where we're destroying what? All of our chametz. What is chametz? He quotes in the next paragraph. He quotes the pasuk. You see where it's bolded. V'lo'ir alecha chametz. No se'or. B'chol gvulecha. There should be no se'or. There should be no leaven, no chametz. Nowhere in my borders, in my midst. We're crazy about chametz. We're completely meshuga about chametz. I always give the mashal. You have a room this size of kosher l'Pesach chicken soup. Yeah? And one crouton falls into it. And you take it out, right? Or you mix it in and it's batel. It's batel, you know, one in a million. Is it batel? It's not batel. It's not batel. It's not batel b'rov. It's not batel b'shishim. It's not batel one in 100. There's areas of halacha one in 200. It's not batel ever. The slightest bit of chametz in your chicken soup, that's it. The whole thing's on. It's all ruined. Why are we so crazy about chametz? So he quotes the famous tshuva from the Radbaz, the bottom corner. In the Shilas and Tshuvas of Rabbi David ben Zimra, the Radbaz, he says, why are we so crazy about chametz? He says where it's bolded. Val kein ani somech al masha amru chazal, b'midrashos. The Radbaz tries to work on it. The Radbaz is a Shilas and Tshuvas lahalacha. He says, I tried to work on this in halacha. I can't figure out a halachic explanation for why we're so crazy about chametz. So it must be that when the rabbis tell us that chametz is the Yetzer Hara, that chametz is averos, it must be that it's not just a cute vart, because it's reflected in halacha. Ki chametz of Pesach ramaz li Yetzer Hara, it alludes, it hints to the Yetzer Hara, v'hu se'or shebe'isa. And the Yetzer Hara is the se'or, is the leaven in the dough. Right? In the dough, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally was kneading together Adam HaRishon, and Adam brought in a little bit of se'or, a little bit of extra leaven, that's the Yetzer Hara. Okay, and therefore the avoda is to what? It's to try, to the best of our ability, to destroy the Yetzer Hara. That's what we're trying to do on Pesach. Which means, it's a very big avoda of tshuva. V'avadta es ha'avoda ha'zos b'chodesh hazeh. We're trying to do tshuva to get rid of the Yetzer Hara once and for all. That's a lot like the feelings I have when I'm standing, you know, in shul by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Hashem, please allow me to defeat the Yetzer Hara once and for all. Allow me to scream Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Hu Elokim, and to know it once and for all, to lock it in. Ne'ilah, to lock it into my heart. That's the avodah of Tishrei, and that's what it says of Baruch of Meshbos. We're trying to bring it into the month of Nisan. Okay, turn to the second page. It says Pinchas Friedman in the bottom right hand corner, V'yesh Lahosif. Paragraph that begins V'yesh Lahosif. I'd like to add, he says, a parperes na levar remez hamishnah. I would like to go a little further to explain this idea. Okay, we didn't see the Mishnah that he quoted, but it's fine. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hachanus Psucha, Vahachenvani Makif, Vahapinchas Pasuach, Vahayad Kosevis, Vahol Harotza Lilavos, Yavo Vilave. What does it say? It says in Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, the store is open, and the storekeeper is Makif. What is Makif? Surrounds, sometimes what it means, so what does it mean in this context? lends on credit. Makif means he gives loans. I mean, he lets you take challah and put it on your tab. You pick up fish and challah and grape juice for Shabbos, and you say, you know, Yankel, put it on my tab. Are you ever going to pay the tab? Hopefully. But Yankel is a nice guy. So chenvani makif. Nu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu. The store is open. The chenvani, the storekeeper, lends on credit or gives out on credit. Va'pinkas pasuach, but the ledger is open. He lends on credit, but he writes it down. He writes it down. The barrel took $18 worth of Shabbos food. Va'yad koseves, and the hand is constantly recording and writing. V'chol arotza lavos, anyone who wants to borrow, you're welcome to borrow. But realize you're going to have to pay for it one day. Says Pinchas Friedman b'shem the Megala Mukos, a deep secret here. The Megala Mukos, literally the revealer of secrets. The Megala Mukos in his writings on Ve'eschanan says that the secret of this Mishnah is Hachanus Psucha. What does it mean? The store is open. Al pi mavur b'zohar kadosh. It says in the Zohar, ki b'chodesh nisan v'chodesh tishrei neshamos hatzadikim yotzos migan eden kedei listakel al hamitzos umaisim tovim sh'osim Yisrael b'olam hazeh. There's times when Hashem opens the store. The store is what? The storage, the storehouse in Shemayim where the neshamos of the tzadikim are found. And there's times when Hashem sends the tzadikim, the neshamos of the tzadikim, to see what's doing with the world. When does Hashem send them? At the beginning of the year. When's the beginning of the year? Tishrei and Nisan. So twice a year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the store, he sends neshamos out to see what's doing in the world. And they're not here to incriminate. The tzaddikim are coming to help us to have a successful Yom Norah, and to have a successful Leil HaSeder, and to have a successful Yom Tov. Right? Like the Arizal promises, the Berhetiv quotes the Arizal. A person who's nizar from chametz on Pesach, a person who avoids chametz entirely on Pesach, will have protection from averos the entire year, because chametz is mamish the averos. It's mamish the Yitzhahara. That's what the Radbaz is telling us. So says the Megala Mukos, look, hachanus psucha, the store is open. He says, chanus is Rashi Tevos, chodesh nisan v'chodesh tishrei. When does the store open? When does Hashem open the gates of Shemayim, sending down tzaddikim to help us in our avoda? Chodesh nisan v'chodesh tishrei. Lefia amor, based on this, we can explain in the next paragraph, Yesh lafarish remez al pi masha mavur b'medrash shari tefila pa'amim psuchim pa'amim ne'ulim. The gates of heaven are sometimes, the gates of tefila in Shemayim are sometimes open and sometimes closed. Aval shari tshuva la'olam psuchim. But the gates of tshuva are always open. So says Rav Pinchas Friedman, what does that mean? It means that in the month of Tishrei and the month of Nisan, which are zmanim of tshuva, there's an opening for a person to what? To daven. Through the gates of tshuva, one can come to tefillah. That's why we daven a lot at the Seder. Everything is a tefillah at the Seder. Kan haben shoel. When the child asks his father, it's not just a kid asking some questions he learned in preschool. It's every person. That's why the tzaddikah made a big inyan that everyone should ask the questions. Everyone should say it. And you should say, Kan haben shoel. You should turn to the Rabbanu Shalom and say, Kan haben. Right now I have some questions for you, Rabbanu Shalom. I have some requests. And I'm doing it mitoch tshuva. I'm wearing the same kittel I wore on Yom Kippur. And I know that the store is open. The tzaddikim are here helping to lift my tefillos up to the highest places. So hachanus psucha, hachanus, he says again, chodesh nisan v'chodesh tishrei, asher behem shari tshuva psuchim, lakabal tshuvas Yisrael. And then what's the next part of the Mishnah? And this is very famous. V'achenvani makif. And the storekeeper gives out on credit. The Ish Kodesh brings this in his writings on Pesach and Parshas Chodesh. It's also found b'shem the Ohev Yisrael that if you look in the Yotzros that some people incorporate into Musaf on Shabbos for Parshas Chodesh, there's a line there. You can see where it's bolded here. HaChodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos. The literal translation means that Chodesh Nisan is a month where what? Where we are surrounded, like Yoni said, Makif means to surround, that we're surrounded by salvation. But the tzaddikim say, based on this mission, Pirkei Avos, no, Makif doesn't only mean surround, Makif means what? That Hashem gives us things on credit. That means in Chodesh Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Is giving us in advance things we haven't paid for yet. Look what he writes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu melaveh bo zechuyos al shem ha'asid. Hashem gives you, if in Tishrei Hashem is exacting, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is scrutinizing in Tishrei, Nisan is a time where we can do tshuva and feel a little more comfortable. That's what I want to present to you in this shir. That Nisan is a time to do tshuva. If Yom Noram is a time, Yom Noraim, where there's more of a focus on Yira, although by Tzaddikim, certainly the Avan, the Simcha of Yom Kippur is very strong. But certainly that whole Tkufa is seen as a scary time for tshuva. Nisan, we come to the Seder, is a time where what? Where we can do tshuva mitoch Simcha. That the Chenvani is makit. It's a lot of times. But now it's Nisan, so we're talking about Nisan. It's almost Nisan, I should say.
It's just
Purim. That's right. So he's giving us on credit. Hachenvani Makif. Again, Yeshua's Bo Makifos literally means that the month of Nisan is a time where we're surrounded by miracles. Historically, we experience many miracles. But the Tzaddikim, the Ohev Yisrael, the Ish Kodesh, Tzaddikim are saying that no, what it means on a deeper level is what? That there's an advance. Hashem will give you things in advance. Just ask for it. The gates are wide open. V'apinchas pasuach, yes, the ledger is open, the hand is recording, but anyone who wants to borrow is allowed to borrow. Which means it's not complete hefker. Hashem is still writing things down, but maybe he's writing down, he says, just tell me what you want, I'll write it down. I'll give it to you. It's a big zman, this is a big opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us to turn v'avatas avodah hazos b'chodesh hazeh. To have all of that feeling of Tishrei, but without the scariness of Tishrei, to have it in the comfortable surroundings of my own home with my family, right at the Leil HaSeder, a night of mitzvahs, a night where Hashem is giving us, He's giving us the loans on credit. It's an amazing opportunity for tshuva. What page did I give you next? I don't even know what I gave you next. Ah, so now, however, this is gold, mamish gold. There's a sefer called Habina VaHabracha, which is a collection of teachings from the Belzer Rebbes. Look what Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Sheila Belzer, has to teach us. And it's mamash this week's parsha. Rabbi Sheila Belzer says, we just read yesterday a very strange thing. It was a piece of Orach Chaim that we skipped over on Thursday. What do the psukim say? The Chachamim, the Chachmei Lev, come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Take a look, you can see it where it's bolded. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomra Moshe in the third line. And they say to Moshe, Marbim ha'am lahavi mideh avoda l'malacha asher tziva Hashem la'asos osa. People are bringing too many donations. I'm not a professional fundraiser. I'm not even an amateur fundraiser. Although once in a while I bully Glickstick into bringing herring, so that's good. Yeah. I don't know how to get money out of people. It's not my thing. But I would imagine that any person who is doing fundraising, right? I can't imagine there was ever a yeshiva or an institution where someone called them and said, I want to make a donation. They said, you know, we're not collecting anymore. We're not taking any more donations. It's weird. It's a very strange pasuk. They come to Moshe and the Jews are donating too much to Hashem. And Moshe says, oh, you're right. You're talking right. V'yitzav Moshe ve'aviru kol b'machana. Okay. So maybe. It's still strange. The Orach Chaim is bothered by this question. Moshe Rabbeinu says, get the loudspeakers out, drive around the camp, and let the word get out. Ish v'isha al yasu od malach l'trumas ha-kodesh v'yikaleh ha'ame havi. Moshe goes out, v'yabiru kol b'machana, tell every man and woman, stop bringing. So the people stop bringing. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I don't for a second begin to understand this. What would be so bad if they had a little bit of a surplus? If they had a little extra in the storage houses? And you know why it's a strong question. Even lefi the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Maybe especially lefi the Orach Chaim, because what's the next piece of Orach Chaim HaKadosh? One that we did learn.
Dayan
v'oser. Dayan v'oser, exactly. What did we learn? They brought so much extra, but what did Hashem do? B'derach Nes. Hashem took all of the extra and he incorporated it precisely into the Mishkan. So now we're really confused. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to make a miracle to take all the extra and to work it into the Mishkan, if Hashem is prepared to make miracles, so then why do they ever have to stop bringing? Whatever they bring, incorporate it in. Let the Jews offer. Let them bring. Why did the Chachmei Lev, why did Moshe, the Tzadik Hador, tell the people you're bringing too much? What does it mean too much? This is the Or HaChaim's question. What would be so bad if they had a little extra in reserve? A little extra money in the bank account. They need money to make the Mishkan function. What would have been so bad? So Rabbi Shua of Bel says a beautiful thing. He says in the bottom left hand, the bottom right hand corner, V'yishlomar v'derech remes, D'inei nidvas ha-mishkan ha'isa kapara al-chet ha-egel. Why were they making a mishkan? What do we learn in the first piece of Or HaChaim this past week? And 2 weeks ago also. Kapara for the egel. They wanted to fix chet ha-egel. The Medrash says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Zav ha-mishkan v'yachaper al-zav ha-egel. Let the money of the mishkan come to v'chaper for the gold that was spent on chet ha-egel. So the Jews were bringing, and they were bringing, and they were bringing, and they were bringing. And you know why they kept bringing so much? It's called Jewish guilt. It's a part of ourselves, which is a very holy thing, but a dangerous thing. Where what? Where we don't believe in our ability to do tshuva. We don't believe in our ability to ever fully fix the avera. We feel like we have to keep doing tshuva, and keep doing tshuva, and keep doing tshuva, and keep doing tshuva. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. You know the famous ma'aseh of the Sadigon?
No.
Tshuva al tshuvaso. The Ber Mayim Chaim brings a story from Rav Sadigon. Ber Mayim Chaim brings it in Sidur Shel Shabbos, I think. He says, Rav Chaim Chernovitzer says that Rav Sadigon was one time seen by his students, and he was doing very intense things to do tshuva. Fasting and all sorts of bodily afflictions. And they said to him, Rabbi, you're Rav Sadigon, you don't need this stuff. What are you doing? So he said, I'll tell you why I always feel such an intense need to do more and more tshuva. He said, one time I was traveling, and I came to a motel, an inn, and I didn't announce I'm Rav Sadigon. I came in, I stayed there, and the person was very nice to me, took good care of me. And then I left. And some of my Talmidim came looking for me afterwards. And they came to that inn, and they said, is the Rebbe still here? So the innkeeper said, who, what Rebbe, what are you talking about? He said, Rav Sadigon. Rabbeinu Sadigon, he stayed by this inn. We know he stayed by this inn. He told us he was staying by this inn. He said, Rav Sadigon didn't stay here. He said, are you sure? And they started to describe what he looked like. And the innkeeper was going out of his mind. He said, that was Rav Sadigon. I didn't know that was Rav Sadigon. I thought it was just a stamiyid. It looked like a nice guy. And I treated him okay, but had I known it was Rav Sadigon, I would have given him the royal treatment. He felt so bad, he chased after Rav Sadigon. He went searching for Rav Sadigon until finally he tracked down Rav Sadigon. He fell at his feet. He said, Rabbeinu, one of the Gedolei Ador of Sadigon, he started crying at his feet. He said, I feel terrible. I didn't know you were Rav Sadigon. Had I known you were Rav Sadigon, besides that, I have no tithes against you. You treated me very nicely. He said, yeah, but had I known you were Rav Sadigon, I would have treated you that much better. So Rav Sadigon said, after that incident happened to me, I realized that I always have to do tshuva, even for the things I did tshuva for. Why? Because when I was 14 years old, I did tshuva for what I did when I was 13 years old. But how much did I really know about Hashem when I was 14 years old? So when I became 15 years old, I have to do tshuva not only for this past year, but I also have to do tshuva for 13 years old also. Because now, I'm 15, I have much greater understanding. That's what I called tshuva last year, that's not really tshuva. So now I'm 18 years old. And I'm saying, 15, I thought I knew what tshuva was when I was 15. Now I really know what tshuva is. Now I'm 22 years old. Yeah, I'm already back, so I'm a bet, you know? Now I really know what tshuva is. It's cute that I thought I was doing tshuva when I was 16 years old. I mean, I went to shul, I fasted on Yom Kippur. But that wasn't tshuva. I have to do tshuva again for the tshuva that I did in the past, because that wasn't real tshuva. And at every stage of life, with the Svarim called tshuva al tshuva, so I keep doing tshuva, because as my awareness of Hashem grows, like Rav Sadigon said, had I known you were Rav Sadigon, I would have treated you that much better. So the way I knew Hashem last year is nothing compared to the way I know Kadosh Baruch Hu today. So I do tshuva on my tshuva. And I keep doing tshuva on my tshuva, and I keep doing tshuva on my tshuva, and I keep doing tshuva on my tshuva. But finally the Chachmei Lev come to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chachmei Lev come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, Moshe, the Jews have to know that tshuva actually works. And at some point you have to stop bringing for the Mishkan. You have to believe that this actually happened. It's over. Ad kan. Let's go weiter. And Moshe says, you know what? You're right. It's Jewish guilt. It's a sickness not to believe that tshuva actually works. At some point you have to say, ad kan with the ego. Ah, but Rashi told us in last week's parsha, by last week I mean Kisisa now, Rashi told us that we're still paying off Chet Egel till this very day. Okay. But at some point, the message of the Chachmei Lev coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, you got to get the Jews to stop bringing for the Mishkan. Because at some point they have to believe that tshuva is done, that the eagle is done. The parsha of the eagle is over. And Moshe says, you're right. By Avihu Kol B'machana, Moshe got the word out, no more tshuva. They stopped bringing. And the Belzer Rebbe, with his awesome bekiyas, says the following. Take a look at the last paragraph, bottom left-hand corner. And he says, I'll show you that it's true, even what this pasuk is saying. Tshuva is a code word for tshuva is malacha. It's an interesting little shtickel to file away. That a code word for tshuva is malacha. Where do we see that? Belzer Rebbe says you got to learn through all of Tanakh to find it. Got to get to the end of Ezra. Ezra Perek Yud. Got to turn to the back of your Tanakh. Va'malacha lo liyom echad v'lo l'shnayim. The Jews in that massive tshuva movement that's taking place in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, right? They recognize, they say, the work that we need to do is not going to take a day or two because we did such terrible averos, right? That hirbeinu lifshoa b'dvar hazeh, we've sinned terribly. So you see, what are they talking about? We have to fix our terrible sins with more than a day or two of malacha. So apparently malacha is a code word for tshuva. So says the Belzer Rebbe, the Chachmei Lev come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Mar b'ma'am lahavi midei ha'avod ala malacha." The Jews are bringing too many donations to the Mishkan. What does that mean? Too much malacha. Too much tshuva. And Moshe says, you're right, too much tshuva is a dangerous thing. Too much tshuva can make a person sick. Too much tshuva can cause a person to fall into a state of yayish. And therefore Moshe goes out and he says to the people, no more donations to the Mishkan. The egel is fixed. We're not accepting any more donations. Because tshuva can be poisonous if you don't do it in the right way. So Chaver, that brings us back to our Yesod. What's the difference between the tshuva of Tishrei and the tshuva of Nisan? The tshuva of Nisan is much healthier. The tshuva of Nisan doesn't have the pressure of Elul and Tishrei, of Yom Noraim, of Shofar, of Ne'ilah. Again, that's also a time of Ava, and a Jew who's tapped into that feels that. But Nisan even more, HaChenvani Makif, Hashem's giving out Mamish free loans. Not a Kodesh Baruch who's scrutinizing Mi Yechia, Mi Yabas. That's not in the Seder. It's just kids and parents and grandparents, hopefully, if you're so blessed, and cousins and some family friends sitting around the table talking about God, remembering the awesome miracles that a Kodesh Baruch did for us. You know? Eating matzah, reclining, four cups of wine, 68 mitzvahs, the rice and the rabbanon, according to the Vilna Gaon, one night. Vilna Gaon is a cheshbon, 68 mitzvahs. I think that's the number. 68 mitzvahs, derais and derabana. So there's a danger of doing too much tshuva. The difference between Tishrei and Nisan is that in Nisan we're not afraid. We're not afraid of averus. Tishrei we're scared of averus. In Nisan, you know what the tzaddikim would say? The tzaddikim would say, they used to say by some tzaddikim that when they would go to Tashlich, right? There's two lines in it though. One nusach is that by Tashlich, they say, what do they say? But the Rapshitzer, right? They say the Rapshitzer would... Who is taking from who? One of the tzaddikim, one of the big rabbis, would go to Tashlich and throw away his averos. So I think the Rapshitzer said, and I would go afterwards and take his averos. Because what he considered the averos by me is big mitzvahs. That's what he said. But then the other nosach that they say is that every Jew throws away his averos in Tishrei. You go to the water and you throw away your averos. But then you go back to the same water in Nisan, and you draw water, Mayim Shalanu, the water that has to be drawn and sit overnight to cool, you draw that water back and you bake it into matzahs. Why? Because if Tishrei was an avoda of tshuva meyira, in Nisan it's tshuva me'ava, and tshuva me'ava turns averos into mitzvos, and therefore we take back our chatan. So I want to show you one last thing, an amazing thing. There's a sefer, it's a newish sefer. It's called Pardei Sadai. It's the last page. In this farm store. You're saying, how do I have money on a chinuch salary to buy somebody's farm? That's your question? That's my wife's question. That's taka, that's take him. You know, that's a big question. Okay? We'll see. Yisrael David Schlesinger. Who's Yisrael David Schlesinger? Yisrael David Schlesinger is a Rav in Muncie. Actually has a shul right across from my wife's, where my wife's grandparents lived. they no longer alive. My wife's grandmother passed away not that long ago. Or we'll probably sell that house to some chassid for like a, you know, some chassid of Schlesinger. Schlesinger is a chassid, very chassid rav. So anyway, so they started putting out his ksavim. What?
He gives that big shiur shop set.
Yeah, he gives like, yeah, Thursday night. I used to go to his shiur Thursday night in Yiddish. It's really awesome. No, not that Schlesinger. I think that's Schlesinger's in Eretz Yisrael. So he says something here. He's not the only one to say it. Rav Nevin Saul, I saw in Rav Nevin Saul's Haggadah, he has the same Vart. I saw in another Haggadah this Vart, but I saw it over Shabbos here in the Pardes Sadai. So I'll show it to you here. Look what he writes. It goes in Belel Pesach. The last page. V'ra'isi remez nifla b'minog leil Pesach l'chalik l'tinokos klayos ve'agozim. Isn't that interesting? The halacha says you're supposed to give out treats to kids on the Leil Seder. What's a treat? You know, nowadays we have nice kosher Pesach candy, but in the good old days, what was considered a treat? Nuts! You give out a gozim. Right? Klayos ve'gozim. Okay? It's a halacha. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, tough iron base. Shemakor b'shas, it's based on a Gemara Pesachim. Amru alav al Rebbe Akiva. Interesting that it's Rebbe Akiva. Shai machali, klayos ve'gozim litinokos be'er of Pesach, kadei shalom. Kadei shalom. How do you pronounce that word? Yishnu? Yishalu. They shouldn't fall asleep. And what? And they should ask questions. Yeah? Keep the kids awake. Give out snacks so the kids are in a good mood and they'll be able to stay awake and they'll ask questions at the Seder. And goes in at the Seder? However, you know the halacha by Rosh Hashanah. No it goes in on Rosh Hashanah. Because egos is gematria chait. That's also in Shulchan Aruch. Egos is gematria chet. What's the gematria of egos? Aleph, Gimel, Vav, Zion. Looks like 17 to me. Yeah? What's the gematria of chet? 18. Okay, you'll have to be off by one gematria.
What?
This?
No. The call is a fact. Don't argue with it.
So this is my favorite place to explain Kolel, because this is the one that gets people the angriest. And it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just like some savior you could just like, you know, throw off to the side and say, oh, it's remez, I don't hold the remez. Got to grapple with it. It's the Shulchan Aruch. So what's the pshat? Ego is gematria chait. It's off by one. A kotzker used to say, you know what else you're not allowed to have on Rosh Hashanah? Chait, because chait is also gematria chait. Can't do averas on Rosh Hashanah. Some people are very machped on like egos gematria chet, no egozim, right? And then they'll get angry at their like wife for cooking something with walnuts. Okay, chet is also gematria chet, yeah. And it's even more gematria chet than egos. It's off by one. So what's the pshat? It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. So kolel is a real thing, but I don't want to give a whole shiur on kolel right now. But I want to know what the Baal Shem Tov says about chet. It's interesting. Look at the word chet. Chet. Chet, do I really need that aleph at the end of the word chet? If it was just spelled ches tes, what would you say? Chet. You don't even hear the aleph. You don't even hear the aleph. The aleph is silent. So explain the Baal Shem Tov exactly, because when a Jew does a chet, the aleph is silent. The aleph, alufa shel olam, the master of the universe, becomes silenced. The master of the universe becomes silenced. But, what's the but? No, finish. But he's still there. He's still there. The Aleph is still there. You don't hear the Aleph, b'shas chet. You don't perceive the Aleph. The Aleph doesn't have a voice, b'shas chet. But the Aleph is still there. So really, the gematria is perfect. Because which part of chet is the sinful part of chet? Tes and tes. It's gematria egos. Aleph is there silently to give us chizuk that we can do tshuva. That even when we silence the alufa sha'olam is still present. Okay? So now, says Rosh Schlesinger, a gavaldic thing, he says, I saw in Sfarim, again, he's not claiming it's his own chiddush, but it's a beautiful idea. Why do we give out a gozim at the Seder? You know why? Because everything we're so afraid of in Tishrei, we've learned to deal with in Nisan. Like the Belzer Rebbe said, we know how to do healthy tshuva. We know how to do not too much tshuva. We know, like Rav Baruch of Mezhbush told us, what? bring the avodah of tshuva into Chodesh Nisan. Ki oz ha-tshuva meira, because then on Rosh Hashanah we're scared of egozim because it's only tshuva of meira. Aval bePesach shosim tshuva me'ava. Vazidonos nasas kizchuyos, and the averos become mitzvos, as adraba. Anu lochim umachzikim es hachatam. We take the chatam, we take the egos, we say, look, Hashem, look how we turned our averos into mitzvos. Shenasu amanasius haflu le mitzvos. We take it, we give it to the children. And we say, look, Rabbanu Shalom, look. We're not afraid. We can put egosim into the hands of our children. Smartphones with internet access, we shouldn't put into the hands of our children. Even in Nisan. That's a psak. I want to give my first psak in Ilchos Pesach. Yeah, let's hear a Mari Dick thing. Okay, what's it doing in Vancouver? Tell us. Okay.
So they had to take care of some time in the initiative.
Yeah.
All the guys in the school, they didn't have to give up their smartphone for a year, they took them to Israel.
Wow. Give up your smartphone for your trip to Eretz Yisrael.
And all these kids on the trip like this, oh, it's not smartphone.
It's really
cool.
That's great.
Wait, what's the first
Pesach? That's my Pesach.
My smartphone.
Then in Chodesh Nisan, we should be makpid not to give our children smartphones. And our children could be ourselves. Our children could be ourselves. Even in Nisan. Even in Nisan, when we're not afraid to hand out a gozim, we should still be cautious in other things. That's my Pesach. Benachman lahaskel b'masha chazal kolu minag zeh bein shahar dvarim she'osim b'la Pesach. And it's interesting, he says, that we put this dafka where? That the children shouldn't fall asleep. We dafka include this halacha to speak, it's Rabbi Akiva's chiddush. This is Rabbi Akiva's chiddush, you realize. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, hand out the egozim on Nisan. Because Rabbi Akiva is the one who understands what? More than anyone else, the koach of v'nahafachim. He's the ultimate example of what? That there can be a transformation. To take the thing of chayin and to turn it into a mitzvah. That's Rabbi Akiva's whole life story. It's mamish the story of Rabbi Akiva. Yeah? Vashar b'shvil kach gam kein chotfim matzah b'leilei psachim. We could steal the afikomen at the Seder. Shekol zeh ba l'ramiz olamin shelo lasos as a mitzvos ba'ofen shel shein of a tardema. We do things with his rizos, he says. Again, it's part of a longer, the rest of his piece here. And I guess we don't know enough of what he was talking about before to get into it. But the point is, again, it's a night where what? Where there's an excitement. It's a tshuva me'av. There's an energy at the Seder. There's a confidence that we have at the Seder. That the chenvani is makif. That the Baal Bayis is giving out. The Rebbeinu Shalom, the Baal Bayis of the world, the storekeeper is giving out on credit. Hashem says the gates are open. Chanus, like we saw, Chanus is gematria. Is Rashi Tevos, Chodesh Nisan v'Chodesh Tishrei. Yeah. To believe that we could do this higher level tshuva. So Mir Hashem, we should be zocha to understand. It's a big opportunity. It has all the opportunity of Tishrei without all of the scariness of Tishrei. We have the ability to take back our avers that we threw away in Tishrei and to bake them into matzahs. The sense of confidence with egozim on the table, with kids running around with egozim and stealing matzahs, with the islavas, with an excitement, and to understand that there's a healthy way to do tshuva. Tshuva doesn't have to always be scary. Too much of the scary tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu says, call it off. It's too much. They're going to get sick from this. They're going to become depressed from this. It's the chiddush, the Belzer Rebbe, Sheila Belzer, right? That there could be too much malacha. There's such a thing as too much tshuva. Again, you have to mature to understand that. Because otherwise you walk out and you say, oh, okay, I guess, you know, I don't have to take tshuva so seriously. It's not a free pass. We do tshuva like crazy in Tishrei. Right? But that type of tshuva, there has to be limits. What about a Nisan? The more the merrier. You can go all night if you want. Because it's healthy tshuva. It's tshuva mitoch ava. It's living in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's embrace. Yeah.
Such a focus in the house. I feel like my at least the vibe that I have such a focus in the house. Let's say this idea of the human wrong and turning it to right. I'm saying wrong is wrong. I don't want to say it in a blanket, but like, yeah, sure. Why is this
such
a focus that like,
well,
now
that like,
they're going to be wrong? Because
everything is
going to
be okay.
Yeah, but then they're going to cut. And, like,
yes, but Hashem swore to us in Sefer Shmuel, Lo yidach imenu nidach. No one's going to be. There will. No one will be left behind. No one will be left behind. Ah, but in Mitzrayim, forfeits got left behind. No, they didn't. You can't argue on Rashi. Yes, I can. What does it mean, 4/5 galef fine? Yoni, tell them, what does it mean, 4/5 galef fine?
4/5.
Like
no?
Five.
Yeah, what does it mean, 4/5 galef fine?
1/5 did.
That means 1/5 of every Jew got out. That's right. How many parts are there to the neshama? Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. Four parts of the Jews got left behind. But the yechida, the pintalid, will never be destroyed. Lo yidach, mimenu, nidach. It's a metzias. It's a metzias. Do you believe that God can be destroyed? Do you believe that Hashem can be destroyed? So then how do you believe that the neshama of a Jew could be destroyed?
I'm saying the neshama went to Shemayim and they might have done the war and they liked it, but
there's a cleansing process. Yeah, you might have to go to Gehenna for a period of time.
So the Pintel Yid in Shemayim was there before 4/5 of Lamais of the Jews that were living were not living on this earth.
No.
Really?
It's not true.
Yeah.
The mitzvah destroyed 4/5 of Klal Yisrael. It means that they destroyed four parts. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. We were really low. But there was one part they couldn't get. And they'll never get. They'll never get it. They can't get it. Haman tried to get it. Couldn't get it. Paro tried to get it. Malik tries to get it. You can't get it. You can't get it. It's not possible. Yeah. Again, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse to. Chassidus is not coming to just pat you on the back and be apologetic. Chassidus is telling, is being megala deeper truths.
It's not apologetic about Judah, for example. I think so in some sense there's a reason.
You should be a Dimna Cheshbon Jew. It's one of the three principles. Because it's going to be okay. Hashem runs the world. It's going to be fine. It's not a free pass. And a person who learns Chassidus in an unhealthy way is going to need even more healing. But he too will be healed. Yes?